Shalom leYehudim, shalom leBnei Noach, shalom leGoyim. It's the evening of the sixth day, Vav BeElul, Parasha Shoftim, the evening of the fifth day, Thursday, 20 August 2015, webcasting from Israel and its self-inflicted wounds. Well, the top story here today remained the Arab enemy on his hunger strike, and because of which the IDF moved Iron Dome batteries into position at Ashdod and Be'er Sheva. There's fear that if this enemy Arab in prison starves himself to death, the rockets will start flying again because he is identified with Islamic Jihad, and his death would license them to exact Arabian justice, which would be firing rockets into Jewish homes to kill us at random. In addition, why is this Arab on the threshold of death? Because he was arrested by Israeli soldiers or police and never charged, never tried, never convicted. Judea and Samaria's highest legal authority is the Israeli army. And everybody knows military justice is not like civilian justice. It's what military music is to normal music. The hunger strike was this particular enemy's way of demanding to be charged and tried or freed. It's called administrative detention. And it's a euphemism used to describe this seizure of an enemy individual. Soldiers in uniform lose freedoms that they had as civilians, e.g. deciding what clothing to wear, what kind of haircut, when to go to bed and when to rise. So under martial law, someone picked up and locked up does not have the same rights as a civilian citizen in a society at peace. And the reason for the martial law is the refusal of the surrounding Arab states to make peace after 67 years. There are 21 Arab states, 2 have signed treaties with us. So much for the legality and ethical rightness of such a situation in which the military can just arrest someone and lock him up for as long as they want, no charges filed. And by going to court, they would expose their sources, so they won't do that. Still, despite the legality and morality of this behavior, of this administrative detention, which I support, Israel still bears great responsibility for the continuation of this status quo in Yosh since 1967, and that's because Israel persists in seeing Yosh as a bargaining chip. It persists in the fantasy it can sell back a major portion of Yosh, but not the whole thing, and the Arabs will be satisfied. Satisfied with a state next to Israel that's even smaller than Israel, wholly dependent on Israel for its economy. This will be the old new state of Palestine, and our neighbors will be content and grateful and happy to cooperate with Israel for the mutual benefit of the two states. This is the underlying fantasy of the two-state solution. Therefore, Israel participates in this legal situation that is quite murky. Like the eternally open sore for 67 years of the Gaza Strip, where they fire rockets at us, plant mines in our fields, fire automatic assault rifles over the border at us, but then expect us to act like city policemen in a liberal democracy when the IDF invades, and we must read them their Miranda rights. The state here cannot buckle to the demands of this self-starving prisoner. As mentioned last time, that would ignite pandemonium in the prisons with the thousands of homicidal Arab prisoners who were arrested for carrying out or just planning to carry out murder on Jews. And then there are the enlightened in Israel who protest the violation of this Arab's right to starve himself to death, as if he had such a right. It seems to me, when you're locked up, you lose lots of rights. And if starvation is one way of attacking Israel, you do not have the right to starve yourself to death. So Israel will force feed you. Oh, the enlightened say, can't do that. Cruel and unusual punishment. It's also mixed up and confused here. Likewise, how this story is unfolding, with the involvement, as usual, of the High Court in the nitty-gritty particulars of what is basically a foreign policy problem. The court yesterday ordered Mr. Mohammed Alan released because he has now, doctors say, suffered brain damage, and therefore no longer poses a threat to Israel. Though it's not clear how much brain damage he has suffered, even if it's permanent. His Arab lawyer said this brain damage could have been avoided if he had not been in detention. One of the justices yesterday in court, Hanan Meltzer, dismissed that by saying the damage was not the result of the detention, but his own self-inflicted behavior. In a way, this messy mixing of civil rights in a civilian society with a population of enemy aliens publicly bent on destroying our country, I guess it's unavoidable, at least until there's a new president in Washington. May it be Mike Huckabee, from Israel's point of view. Huckabee was here again this week, fundraising and visiting in Shiloh and publicly declaring it to be Jewish land, Israeli land as of right. Thank you, Governor. Maybe he will have an impact on at least some of the Israeli politicians here, who must, I believe, eventually publicly support this policy. It's the only one that makes sense, a full Jewish sovereignty in Judea and Samaria. It's the only logical one. The two-state solution has never been anything but a half-baked adolescent fantasy, and not at all thought out. And all one needs to do to verify my claim is to read Shimon Peres' book, The New Middle East, which he published 3 months after the handshake on the lawn. In it, he envisioned a new Middle East with borders as open as those in Europe, in the EU. He envisioned rivers of tourists and businessmen crossing the country lines, having a good time, doing business, making everybody rich, all the states in the Middle East together. It was in this period, you may remember, Shimon was so deliriously drunk on his vision of peace, he foresaw Israel joining the Arab League of States. St. Simon's vision of peace was cotton candy for the mind that had nothing to do with the reality of the peoples and religions and culture of the Middle East. These Arabs can't get along with one another, let alone with us Jews. Hundreds of thousands of dead now in Syria, as they were in Lebanon in the 70s and 80s, as they were in Algeria in the 90s. A couple of weeks ago, Oxfam said that in Yemen, millions of people are on the brink of starvation, the fighting there, the disruption of what crummy economy they had to begin with. The two-state solution was also almost metaphysically insane for imagining, without filling in the details, the creation of another state here west of the river. Rather, it was scientifically insane. Like thinking that you can somehow get 2 gallons of gasoline into a 1 gallon jerry can. There is simply no room here for another fully independent state. There's not enough airspace, not enough electromagnetic space. Calling for the two-state solution now means, in Arab minds, dispossessing 500,000 Jews, returning Israel to its 1949 ceasefire line when it was 9 miles from the coast. What Israeli prime minister and political party will agree to that? Not even Yossi and Tzipi and Buji would agree to that. It is forgotten that the two-state solution was the brainchild of Uncle Shimon and his disciple, Dr. Joseph Beilin, Ph.D., the famous charlatan scientist of politics. Both of these men had never worked in the real world, likewise Yitzhak Rabin, and their big idea called the Oslo Peace Process was the handiwork of not even amateurs, but dingbats, idiots, completely divorced, like so many Marxists, from human nature as it really is. Israel has to undergo a true and salutary period of brainwashing in the best sense, the rinsing of its brains, of all the unrealistic assessments of who our neighbors are, and Israel must learn to confront finally the ground of being of these people, the hatred that drives them, hatred of Jews, the animosity to the restoration of Eretz Yisrael by the Jewish people over the last century and a half predates the settlements and the Six-Day War that led up to them, predates the hostility to the War of Independence in 1948-49, predates the League of Nations mandate of the early 1920s. When the League invented the modern jurisdiction of Palestine in the 1920s, the Arabs resisted, and wholly for religious reasons, because at that point they had no conception of Palestine, no national identity, It was as Muslims that they murdered Jews in the 1920s and the 30s and the 40s and the 50s. Only in the 60s and 70s did they begin claiming to be the authentic national landlords of Palestine since time immemorial. And it's that hatred that fuels all their violence, like the three separate attacks last night. Rocks thrown at cars, a little girl injured by flying glass, some stoning in Jerusalem, stoning of the light rail in Jerusalem again after a hiatus of some months. Israel needs to strengthen itself by reigning in the power of the High Court and to gird its loins in the face of Arab resistance, such as this one example of this security prisoner. We must not do what he wants. We must do what we need to do. Chazak v'amatz.
נחמו עמי, נחמו עמי, יאמר אלוקיכם. 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 דברו הלב ירושלים, דברו הלב ירושלים. נחמו עמי, דברו הלב ירושלים. אמר השם, אמר השם, את מי צריך לנחם? האם לא אותי צריכים לנחם? מי שנשרף ביתו, מי שנשבו בניו, את מי צריך לנחם? נחמוני, נחמוני עמי. נחמו עמי, נחמו עמי, יאמר אלוקיכם. 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 דברו הלב ירושלים, דברו הלב ירושלים. נחמו עמי, דברו הלב ירושלים. אמר השם, אמר השם, את מי צריך לנחם? האם לא אותי צריכים לנחם? מי שנשרף ביתו, מי שנשבו בניו, את מי צריך לנחם? נחמוני, נחמוני עמי. מי שנשרף ביתו, מי שנשבו בניו, מי שנטרף צונו, האם לא אותי צריכים לנחם? נחמו, נחמוני עמי. נחמו, נחמוני עמי. ומחיתי, מחיתי דמעה מעל כל פנים, ושבו בנים לי.
On the good news side of the ledger, yesterday the Spanish reggae festival outside of Valencia called the Rotodom Sunsplash European Reggae Festival was reported to have reversed itself, apologized for its cancellation of the appearance of Matis Yahoo. They reissued the invitation, put him back in the program, and they were apparently reacting to pressure from Madrid, the highest reaches of the Spanish government, I guess, because the persecution of this one Jew was so blatant. festival management said its initial cancellation was made in fear of disruption by the BDS people. I'll buy that. One reports that of the 250 performers, five had protested Matisyahu's presence, I guess, Roger Waters' clones, and they demanded that he denounce Israel and support driving Jews from Judea and Samaria, which is the meaning of the so-called Palestinian state. It was a lengthy and detailed apology, and not only was the national government involved, evidently, so even the normally anti-Israel press in Spain, starting with the country's number one newspaper, El País, which means the country, sort of like Haaretz. The Spanish are among the most anti-Jew people in Europe, which tradition carries over into the current generation in the form of bashing Israel for its criminal abuse of the ancient ones. But because this anti-Semitic aggression against this American musician of Jewish extraction, whose music is totally non-political, as he is in his public statements, as the abuse was so obvious, even El País and other newspapers tongue-lashed the festival organizers for bowing to the demands of the BDS anti-Semites in Valencia. I found it interesting, too, how in the editorial in El País, attacking the obvious anti-Semitism at play here, said this, quote, "It's absolutely unacceptable that in the Spain of the 21st century, individuals and organizations can still demand that somebody explain himself in ideological terms in order to be able to exercise his profession. And this takes us back to the dark days when everybody was required to prove their religiosity and purity of blood." Close quote. I read that and was impressed by the evidence of the editorialist having that kind of historical sensitivity and knowledge. I wonder how many of his readers understood what he was getting at. The expression purity of blood was invented in the 15th century in Spain, limpieza de sangre, and is considered the first modern proto-Nazi biological anti-Semitism. What happened was this. In the year 1391, starting in Sevilla in Pesach time, which coincided that year with Easter, thanks to the hysterical Jew hatred stirred up by the Catholic clergy, a pogrom erupted there. Jews were massacred, their homes ransacked, and the fire of this violence began to jump to nearby towns and other cities in Spain over that summer. It was a summer of serial massacres in Iberia. Thousands of Jews were slaughtered in these bloody riots. And as a result of this proto-Kristallnacht, over the next 10 years, maybe half of Spain's hundreds of thousands of Jews converted. Some had no spiritual resources to resist the brutality. To continue living as Jews, they threw up their hands and say, "I'm not going to go on with this." Others became the famous Marranos. Double lives were led. They were terrified into pretending to convert, but remained Jews in secret. Now, flash forward in Spain 50 years. When the grandchildren of the Marranos have grown up, they've grown up as Catholics. They were entitled to do anything they wanted, to enter any profession, a guild or a university. And as a result, by the mid-15th century, they had become Spain's leading engineers, doctors, scientists, merchants, even priests, monsignors, archbishops, and cardinals. And the Spaniards never knew who was a sincere Catholic and who a secret Jew. Thus, the Inquisition, to inquire into the sincere beliefs of an official Christian who was thought to be a secret Jew underneath. What they knew above all was that the family tree of all these young adults was Jewish, and they came to believe that the Jews had taken over Spain. Thus, in the year 1449, the government passed a new law calling for limpieza de sangre, purity of the blood. It was no longer enough to be a Catholic, to be a full citizen. One had to have roots in Spain going all the way back to the year 711, 700 years. And why? Because that is when the Muslims invaded at Gibraltar, and the Jews assisted them in their conquest. And why? Because for more than a century before then, after the Visigoths, who had ruled Spain in the 5th and 6th centuries, converted to Roman Catholicism, They had mercilessly persecuted and terrorized the Jews in Spain, so that by the year 711, there was not one public Jew in the country. All had either fled or pretended to be Christians. It was one of the darkest periods in Jewish history. And when the Arabs invaded, the Jews came out of the woodwork and helped. And the Muslims, in effect, rescued them. And in the 15th century, even 700 years later, the Spanish Catholics never forgot that. They saw the Jews as traitors. So they passed this new restrictive legislation, news of which reached Rome, the Vatican, and objections were raised there. There was nothing in canon law about this. A Catholic was a Catholic, and such a demand had no basis in the religion. To which the Spanish authorities replied to Rome, "You don't know what's going on here. The Jews have taken over the country. They're all the professors, the lawyers, the moneylenders, the merchants." And here was the leading newspaper in Spain yesterday, aware of the age of limpieza de sangre and its seeming recrudescence in this festival of reggae in which a Jew is deprived of his right to his profession on the basis of his personal beliefs. This made Madrid uncomfortable, made the leading journalists uncomfortable, as it should. So that was a nice news story today. I have one of Matis Yahoo's discs. The first, I think, and some of his music is wonderful.
עצמי שנאתי בלעדייך ואם משהו היה גם הוא עבד ואת עינך
You're listening to www.deprogramprogram.com, broadcasting from the hills of Judea. I'm Shai Ben-Tekoa. That's one of my favorite pieces by him. It's a love song, and I hope you all realize that in the middle, he's singing in Arabic. On the political front, the top story today was the revelation, nothing should surprise us anymore, that Iran will be its own monitor when it comes to the Parchin facility, that they have never let inspectors enter. The document agreed to by those treasonous Americans, Kerry and Obama, lets Iran collect samples of the work there and send them for inspection to Europe. This Iran thing gets crazier and crazier the more facets of it that are exposed. Well, I stand by my analysis that at rock bottom, the entire history of these negotiations has been fueled by age-old anti-Jewism. What, after all, is the immediate threat of Iran having a bomb? That's no secret. The mullahs boast of their dream in public. It's us. El Supremo in Tehran, El Khamenei, just published surely his greatest work called Palestine, and said Palestine is the most important issue for Islam, for Iran. And I agree. Islam, as I've thought for years, is not just a religion with an anti-Semitic side, like classical Christianity. Jew hatred is of the essence in Islam. It's not an anti-Semitic religion. It's a religion of anti-Semitism. Khamenei feels, and he is not wrong, that the existence of Israel, just its existence, is a mortal threat to the religion of Islam, and I agree. There are all kinds of types in Islam. Journalists, politicians, clerics, who avidly follow events in Israel, which they know to be a world leader in high tech and medicine, avionics, pharmaceuticals. A few months ago, Ynet reported that Little Israel is third in the world in registering patents in the United States. In 2014, no less than 3,555 patents were registered, many by American companies with operations in Israel, where the groundbreaking work was done. They know that the standard of living of these Muslims for the average Israelis is far above that of the average Iranian and the masses of illiterate Muslims in Arabi and Turkey, and all this makes them hate Jews even more. So this is what the entire Iran nuclear bomb business is all about as far as I'm concerned. It's the title of Khamenei's book. He and his people are obsessed with Israel. For it should not be that Israel is so superior in so many ways when Islam is the correct religion, and Judaism a plagiarized version of it. As the Jews stole Palestine from the Palestinians, so they stole Islam from the believers. And so it's just not right that this people, these Jews, who for 14 centuries had lived as an oppressed and humiliated people under believers, are now back in the land they were exiled from by Allah for being evil. The world is out of kilter with the Jews back in control like this. But don't tell any of this to America's Reform Jews, that is, their official bodies. Some of them yesterday, three of them, announced that they would take no position on the Iran deal, for or against, because, quote, there is simply no clarity that would support taking a position. Instead, they alluded to their supreme value of pluralism, in which all opinions are of equal worth, words to that effect. I feel sorry for these Reform Jews. It really is sad about how so far away they are of knowing what true Jewish belief is and requires. Of course they're disappearing, for they are empty of all theory and practice. They are nothing but a shadow of the degenerate so-called liberals in the Democratic Party. They're as empty as Hillary Clinton. I can't think of even one issue or idea or cause she is associated with or expressed herself about. What does she stand for? Equal pay for women? Please. That's so 1960s. She stands for free medical care, I guess. Obamacare, like her own Hillary care. Same idea. Cuban-style free medical care. So today's shrinking band of Reformed Jews who can't make up their minds about Obama and Kerry's wicked Iran deal are thinking par for the course. They have no view to preach, only that all sides in the debate be civil with one another. This is pathetic. They cannot see the existential threat to millions of us Jews here. They can't see it in their president's plan to arm the Iranians with an atomic bomb and to fund Hezbollah and Hamas for more local Jew-killing adventures. How they mirror the vacuity of their own Jewish lives and the sorry state of American culture that twice, like them, voted this villain into office. Hashem Yerachem, Lord have mercy.
קודש לכל חטאותינו ימחול זרענו וחספינו יר בכחול וככוכבים בלילה יום פנה כצל תומר אקרא לה כל עלי גומר אמר שומר את הבוקר, את הבוקר וגם הלילה צדקתך כהר תעבור על חטאי עבור תעבור על חטאי, על חטאי עבור תעבור על חטאי עבור תעבור כיום אתמול כי יעבור והשמור עבה לילה חלפה עונת מנחתי מי ייתן מנוחתי יגעתי אסרה בכל לילה קולי בל יומטל פתח לי פתח לי שער אמנותל פתח לי פתח לי שער אמנותל פתח לי פתח לי שער אמנותל שראשי נעים לטל קבוצותיי רסי זה לילה האתר נורא והיום אשביה נפיד יום אשביה אשביה נפיד יום אשביה נפיד יום בהן אשף בערב יום באישון לילה קראתיך כהושי איני אור החיים תודיעני אור החיים אור החיים תודיעני אור החיים תודיעני מדלות ומשפלות תבצעני מיום ועד לילה תארתי נוף מסי תארתי נוף מסי תארתי נוף מסי ומחשבותי תארתי נוף מסי תארתי נוף מסי תארתי נוף מסי ומחשבותי פן יאמרו מחיסי עיינה נותן זמירות בלילה נחנו בידך כחומר סלחנה סלחנה על קל וחומר סלחנה סלחנה על קל וחומר סלחנה סלחנה על קל וחומר יום ליום יביע אומר ולילה לילה חטאותינו ראויים מכל זרענו וחספינו יר בכחול וככוכב
Okay, that's it for this last night of the week, and I'll be back, God willing, on Sunday after the Holy Sabbath. Thus, until then, Laila Tov, Shabbat Shalom, Eretz HaKodesh.